59 people filed into the burial pit down a ramp, including wagons drawn by oxen, all of them wearing the regalia of their various offices in the court, courtiers, soldiers, serving women, and so on. And each of them carried a small clay cup. Trumpets blew. A signal was given, and all the court, the 59 people, drank this cup, which apparently contained some poison, and laid down in order and died. The pit was then filled in with more sacrifices, and the funeral was over. The expectation was that the ruler would carry on in the same style in the next world. This funeral was constructed brilliantly, reconstructed brilliantly by Leonard Woolley. Unfortunately, his excavation notes are too inadequate, and the site itself, the burial, was destroyed during excavation, that we do not know, in fact, whether this is an accurate reconstruction. But knowing Woolley's work, it's probably quite likely. Over time, it's inevitable that the ambitions of some of these city-state rulers extended far beyond Mesopotamia. Inevitably, too, they sought to control the lucrative trade routes which crossed the Syrian desert to the eastern Mediterranean coast. By 2500 BC, after 600 years of civilization, Akkadian cities to the north of Sumerian country, around modern-day Baghdad, were competing with their southern neighbors for power and wealth. In 2334 BC, King Sargon of Agadi, south of Babylon, extended his domains by trade and military campaigns to include not only Sumer, but northern Mesopotamia. He was a very able monarch, and his successors were not. Political chaos followed a severe drought in the north. The Akkadian kingdom collapsed abruptly, and King Ur-Nammu of Ur took control of Sumer and Akkad in 2112 BC. Unlike Sargon, Ur-Nammu and his successors of the Third Ur royal dynasty were expert administrators and diplomats. Their great empire flourished for 120 years, during which time they established some very important things, a persistent tradition of Mesopotamian civilization which combined trade, conquest, ruthless administration, despotism, with tribute to forge large, poorly integrated, and highly volatile empires that spanned the world between the Mediterranean and the Persian Gulf. And then, in 1990 BC, Sumerian civilization gave way to Babylonian civilization, and then to the great imperial empire of the Assyrians. But by that time, Mesopotamia was a much larger world. It was part of a much larger universe, the universe of the Egyptians, the universe of the eastern Mediterranean coast, and of the Hittites, which we'll talk about later. We have moved on from a small-scale civilization, from the beginnings of Mesopotamian civilization, which we described in this lecture, starting with the village societies which flourished on the southern delta after 5700 BC. We described the growth of towns into cities, communities like Erech and Uruk by 3800 BC, also innovations like writing and metallurgy which followed. We've explored the beginnings of Sumerian civilization with its patchwork of competing city-states and extensive interconnections which laid the foundations for the volatile Mesopotamian civilizations of later times and for a much more interconnected world. Part of this new commercial and political world was Egypt, which we describe in the next two lectures as the counterpoint to Mesopotamia.